So G and I have been married for nearly 20 years, really happily married. You know how they say that the major reasons for a breakup are a change of job or moving house or having a baby? We do that stuff all the time and we do it in different countries. I think really we've had a fantastic marriage and we get along really well. But there's been something niggling just in the back of my mind. You know that voice that you hear where you know that there's something up? There's been times where people have talked about, you know, different things with expat money, whether it's been transferring things or expat investments, or I've kind of sat there and thought, I couldn't really give you the exact figure that's in our bank account right now. I couldn't tell you about our shares. I couldn't tell you exactly how much we owe off the mortgage. And I knew that this was wrong. So I decided, okay, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to have a look at our accounts and I'm going to help out. So I arranged a time with G and said, we're going to get together and we're going to talk about money. Well, I reckon we cancelled that meeting about five times just that week because there was always something more important to do and there was always something with the kids or one of us was exhausted or one of us had a meeting to go to. So I think that tells you something. You've got to make the time. You've got to actually sit down and make a time to talk about your money. So this is where it started. G and I up in our room, kids in front of the telly. So this is our date night here, locked in the bedroom.
Ooh, wacko.
With my Snoopy notebook. I've had vegetable soup for dinner. But you did offer a date night. You did offer a date night,
didn't
you?
I even tried to set one up last week and then you knocked me back. Tired.
It was too tired. It seemed like too much effort, didn't it?
Yeah. We're going to take you to a Japanese restaurant.
Okay.
Well, why don't you start and I'll fill in the gaps.
Okay. So I would say that at the moment, what it looks like at our house,
yes,
is that you have full control over the banking.
No, I'd say that you choose to not participate.
Oh, yeah. No, but I'm saying at the moment how it looks is you have... I'm not judging you for that.
Yeah, it's just the word control implies I've taken something and I'm not providing access to money or to the account.
So
and that's wrong.
So you're worried... Are you worried about that? That's how someone might see it? That because you do all the money that... it would be seen? Oh, really?
Mm.
See, I never think of that. I just think of the fact that...
And that's how I think the kids see it too, particularly the boys.
Ah, interesting. Okay, the alarm's a little bit over the top, but I had to jump in here. That's how the kids see it? That I've maybe created that? I've written so much about expat women losing their identity or losing their power because they're giving up their careers. And here I was the whole time setting this terrible example for my children by not showing that I had a little bit of influence over the bank accounts. You know, of course, if they see that Dad's quickly opening the laptop to make a transfer or that Dad's talking about what he's had to do at the bank that week and Mum seems completely disengaged, what sort of message have I sent them? I thought the best example I was setting my kids was getting back to work and getting a great job, but I hadn't really thought about the other side of it. So there's my first light bulb moment. Anyway, let's get back to the chat with G.
And I think that's unhealthy for boys to see that in the relationship. And they, it was said at dinner tonight, wasn't it, that something came up, I can't remember what it was.
School fees.
And then the thing was, oh, that's Dad's wallet. And you go, well, actually, no, it's not Dad's wallet. It's the same wallet. But the boys think of it as Dad's wallet.
Yeah, because, one of the kids said, that's money out of Dad's wallet.
Yeah.
No, that's you're right. You're right. I do. I have chosen to sort of step away from it. And
I think I'd go even further in saying you've made deliberate efforts to avoid it.
And I have, and I think it's a long history. Okay, I'm jumping back in now. I can't help myself. The history thing, I've got to fill you in on the history because I can pretty much pinpoint it to when I started to take a step back. When G and I moved to Canada, which was about our third or fourth expat move, we had three children under the age of four, I think. And we were living in the suburbs and we were getting back to living an everyday life, and we had no money. Our budget was tight. I wasn't working. It was tight. And we used to have these awful conversations about money where, you know, G would send me a meeting request saying that we were going to have a budget discussion. And then we'd get together and we would just argue about money, about where we were spending our money and how much money we had. And we basically just didn't have any money. And I think I just sort of retreated. It felt like Groundhog Day, you know, the same conversation over and over. We don't have any money. We're spending too much money. We need to make some hard decisions. And, you know, then we'd go on and on and on. Well, one of the things I did do was I went back to work full time, which certainly helped things. But we were on a tight budget. We stopped sort of going back to Australia and going home. The kids got a bit bigger. Life got a little bit easier. But we just really stopped talking about money. And when I think back to that time, I don't like the way we talk to each other. I didn't like the tone of Greg's voice, that I felt like a child. And I guess probably there was some childlike behaviour on my behalf. But anyway, let's go back to G and I sitting on the bed talking about now and what our plans are now and going forward.
Why don't you explain what the situation is with the banking?
So with the banking at the moment, what I meant when I said you have full control, and you're right, that's not the right word, you take full responsibility.
Yes, and I don't think that's fair.
And it's not fair. That's right. And I think that a lot of times in relationships, people think that one person prefers to look after the money and the other person doesn't enjoy it, so they don't. And I've realised from listening lately to podcasts and conversations where people have talked about money, couples have talked about money, it's suddenly become really clear to me that people don't like having the responsibility of being the person that looks after the money.
And, or the only one.
Yeah, the only one. And they don't like the pressure. And it's a lot of pressure for one person to have to manage.
I also think as a couple ages, then you've got to be mindful of knowing where money is, and you never know when accidents are going to happen or whatever. And I've seen that with my mum, with Dad passing away.
And I think I have relied upon the fact that you're so super organised when it comes to these things. You have this system in place where I would know exactly where to go for the information in either country that we were in. And so I guess I have always known in the back of my mind that if something terrible was to happen, that I could obtain the information. All the passwords are there, all the information is there. And you kind of also do this monthly tally where you look at where we're at every month as well. Okay, so we have a Qatar savings account.
Yeah, and a Qatar check account.
Yeah.
And then a Qatar.
Okay, so this is where Greg starts telling me about our different accounts. And he talks about the check account because we pay our rent by check account. But how about this?
There's also an online account with the same bank that is like a where we just park a bit of extra get out of jail money.
Right. Wait, what? There's an extra account I don't know about? Don't you just love the way that I'm like, oh, right, because I'm that out of the loop with all of it that I've got no idea that there's this account that I don't even know existed. That's not cool. That's not cool for anyone. Anyway, the thing is, this account that G had organised is brilliant because it's kind of what we would call our parachute account. So it's the account if there is a disaster, say there's a coup, say there's some sort of thing where you've got to get on a plane and get out of there straight away. It's an account for that money. And the thing that's clever about it is it's not attached to a check account. It's not attached to a credit card. So it can't get bugged into your parachute account, the one where you just need to pull the cord and get out fast. We're going to talk about that later. We're going to talk about why every expat needs to have a parachute account. But in the meantime, we're going back to GNI on the bed. So we know we have to have the check account.
Yep, can't avoid it.
All right. Do we have to have a credit card here? Okay, so the rest of the conversation sort of had G and I talking about all the different accounts we had and why we had them. We realised that we had a credit card in Australia that we really didn't need. We suddenly thought about what we were calling a savings account when really it was more a daily grind account. We talked about why it worries him having too much money in one sort of account that you can get access to. It was really the best money conversation we have ever, ever had. And it's something I think every expat needs to do. I'm going to set up a website called Don't Blow Your Dough, and it's going to show you what those accounts are called and how you can set them up. And each week, I'm just going to keep adding what I learn along the way. Anyway, G and I came up with a couple of ideas of what I needed to do for the week, and then we're going to come back and chat next week. But let's go back to G and I on the bed.
An account that's not accessible via a debit Visa card, because if someone was to ever steal your money via your debit Visa card,
this is clever.
Whereas that online account, which does not cost us anything, it's a pure online account, so there's no fees associated with it. It's not accessible via the Visa card or the Visa debit card.
All right, so I think exercise one for me this week, the killer credit card.
Yeah.
But also log in to every account.
Yeah.
All right, so log in to every account, calculate how much money comes in per month, and kill a credit card.
Well, kill a credit card that's charging you an annual fee.
All right. And then, so we'll come back next week after I've done that.
Sounds good.
You're smirking. Why are you smirking?
This is back to the conversation at the very start about control and responsibility.
What? Why are you smirking? That doesn't explain why you're smirking.
Because I'm smirking because I will be delighted when you've completed your two tasks.
Okay. All right. I'll be back to report next week.
Looking forward to it.
See, that was the nicest money conversation we've ever had. I need to tape you more often.
Whoa, wacko.